I got the juice, it ain't zero proof. Girl, you the truth, they all want you. Welcome to Chicago, we the home of the truth. The house of the juke.
Hey, it's Voglo Radio, Chicago's only urban alternative, 91.1 FM. In the studio, we've got a special guest, Rick Wilson. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
How's 2024 treated you?
I guess it's still treating me because it's the end, yeah. But it's treating me good. It's treating me really good. A lot on, a lot off time. So it's been interesting. It's been fun.
I want to talk about some of your highlights, but I have to say the last time we spoke to you was at Pitchfork.
Mm-hmm. And I was in that really hot, like hot, physically hot.
I was really wondering how you stayed in that suit the whole day. You were committed to it. You were committed to the bit.
So I played the day before and I had pictures that day. So I came to wear that for the pictures, but then I had to commit. Because I wasn't going home.
Because I was hot and you were wearing so much more clothes than me. And I was like, maybe he's like going inside a cooling trailer. Like, maybe he's fine. Since then, I mean, you are coming out with new music, which I love that artists are releasing music in December. Because we usually never get anything. You also, was this your first late night appearance on a late night TV show?
Yeah.
This year?
Technically last year, but yeah.
How was that? It looked crazy. The setup looks so good.
So it was interesting. They were doing this. It was supposed to be in the show, but then last year they had the long strike.
The writer's strike.
The writer's strike.
Yeah, yeah.
And so since they had that, we did it at home. So we did an at-home version of it. And we had my friend Robert direct it and shoot it, Robert Salazar. We did it at Brewed Coffee. It's like a horror-themed coffee shop. It's in Logan Square, and it's really, really dope. So we kind of tried to, like, go based off that. Brick-a-Brack Records is also right next to it, and they're owned, I think, by the same people. So we kind of tried to incorporate both of them. But it was cool. It was cool. Like, my friend Trey got a bunch of, like, house dancers together for it. I was trying to bring my live show to, like, the show or whatnot. It was good. I guess it ended up, like, only being on our YouTube, so it lives on our YouTube channel. So that was pretty cool. But it was my first, I guess, late night like appearance. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
I know next time you need the in person. You need the.
I need the in person. Yeah. Yes, to show people the real, real like, you know, live show. But it was cool to like at least get that, you know, that one up and going. It was. Sometimes I forget that like that even happened, but yeah.
Yeah, because it was with Stephen. Is it Colbert?
Yeah, right? Stephen Colbert. Mm-hmm.
Stephen Colbert. It was so well shot. Thank you for repping Chicago the right way. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
like
thank
you're
you,
like,
thank
if we're doing something at home, I'm not just gonna be in my bedroom. We're
oh,
gonna
no.
be.
Yeah, we're gonna be somewhere
in the streets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm always super duper trying to like rep Chicago and bring new things to the forefront of people's eyes in Chicago.
I'm just doing a check-in. You still live in Chicago?
Mm-hmm,
I feel like Chicago. I always got to check in with you. Because I was like, is Rick still in Chicago or has he moved to London yet?
No. I don't plan on moving to London. I love Chicago because a lot of people don't know you can get a direct flight from O'Hare to London. And it's like always under 8 hours, like 7 hours long.
Do you coach? You sit? How do you do 8 hours in a plane?
So,
I'm just wondering.
So because I do music, I'm able to like fly at really weird times. I usually always fly on like a Tuesday or Thursday, and it's usually like the direct one, and it's usually no one really on the flight. I always buy the flights, and I walk past these people that are in like, you know, first class. I'm just like, they don't even know. Like, I have like always have a full row to myself because it's not really
you
that
just
much
lay out.
Yeah, just lay out. I lay out. Also, like, I got crazy like ADD, so I'll put on all three TVs with different things
oh
happening.
You're like in the maze. You put yourself in the matrix.
Yeah. I sit in the middle and put three TVs on. I'm just like reading on one, then writing on another one. Then I'm like, can I get another meal? Yeah, yeah, because not really that much people, so I always get two meals. I live a great life on those flights.
That's nice. You spent a lot of time this year in the UK,
right? Yeah, I did.
You were doing some shows over mm-hmm. there.
I did my first show in London this year, which is crazy because I've like been back and forth there since 2021. But no, I did my first show in London this year. I've toured Europe three times this year. I toured once. I just did my first headlines in London and Paris in February. Then I went back with my friend Yellow Days, and we did all of Europe, mainland Europe. And then I went back with Chromeo, and we played the exact same spots, except for, like, we did Scandinavia with Chromeo. And that was, like, a month and a half apart. And luckily, I was able to do it because they're both my friends. So they were like, okay, cool. Our, like, crowds don't clash. So that was good. But that was, like, all third quarter, which is kind of crazy. Or, like, second quarter, like, spring. And then third quarter, I sat down and like finished some music that I'm finally going to put out this year and mainly finished the album that I'm going to put out next year. Yeah, and then I guess this music, I guess we're releasing stuff, so, yeah.
So you did a few days with Chromeo, right? You did a couple of different stops?
We did 3 weeks in Europe with them. Mm-hmm.
How was that?
It was good. It was really good. It was really good. I was in Amsterdam on my birthday this year, so that was really cool because of the tour. I went the day earlier and went to Amsterdam, you know what I mean? Got a shake and just, you know, was just like...
Living the Amsterdam life?
Living the Amsterdam life. Amsterdam is a really, really, really... I think it's the most beautiful city
I've heard that from so many people. Everyone says that.
It's really, really beautiful. Yeah. Like, it's really, really expensive to live there. If I had the money, I would try to live in Amsterdam outside of everything else in Europe. But if I was going to pick anywhere in Europe to live, it would probably be like maybe Germany or something like that.
So you were in Europe. You came back. You wrote the album in Chicago?
I've been writing this album since like 2019, 2020, really. But then 2020 got in the way. So then we like put everything on pause. And then me and Chromeo ended up making a whole project together. So then we were like, well, we might as well put this one out first and then put my album out. So I've been working on this for a minute. Yeah.
I have to say, look, if you want to go through another listen of the album with A-Track and Chromeo, it still hits. So tell me if you think of me. She would call me again. I told her I was just checking in. Now she out with a friend. When you put out a project that is that amazing, do you feel like you need to top it with your personal project?
Yeah, I feel like so. Mixed by Ali mixed that album and mastered it, and he also mixed and masters every single thing you've heard from Kendrick and since like Good Kid, M.A.A.D City. He mixed and mastered Good Kid, M.A.A.D City and like everything since then with Kendrick, and I think even before. So that was really the big like, okay, I gotta get someone that can mix as good as Mixed by Ali, because like obviously when we did it with him, we got the 8-track and Chromeo rate. You know what I mean?
You're like, I got the homie discount.
Yeah, I got the homie discount. So it was really like that quality wise is what I was like worried about, but then also like just statement wise, I feel like I've been overthinking the debut for a while because everyone wants the debut to be like sound defining. So I think that was kind of it too. And feeling like I need to tell my story in this whole one piece of work. But then also like, if your artist is going to keep being an artist for a while, it's not about telling your story in one piece of work. It's about telling your story consistently and also telling the story of where you're still going after you told that story. It's telling multiple stories. I feel like it's like a series and this is my first season. That's how I've started thinking about albums. But I used to think about this and like, oh man, it's got to be the finish to beginning, all like perfect and like whole story told and boom, you know what I mean? And I don't think everything needs to be the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, because then you only got that one album from Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. That is true. That, you know? When you look at this year, I mean, 2024 was a crazy year. We had this election happen and you're kind of known for your civic engagement. Does that also come with pressure? Because in the past you have been so active.
It used to pressure me when I was younger, but not anymore. No. I know who I am. I know what I believe in. I know what I stand for. And at this point, hopefully everyone that's following or whatever should know too. So I don't get too worried about that. I don't feel pressure on that either. I used to feel like, oh my God, something happened. I have to say something. And I always try to tell other people like that. One, I used to actually be an organizer. Now I'm just an activist, abolitionist. I don't organize anything, so I don't call myself an organizer. I was telling folks, you don't always have to say everything. They don't always have to hear your opinion right away when things happen. You know what I mean? But I think we're just such like a microwave jump on it now culture that everyone feels like they have to give everyone their opinion on every single like
issue.
Breaking news that happens. Yeah, an issue. And everyone doesn't need to know that. Sometimes I am moved. And when I'm moved, I'm moved a lot.
We've seen it. I don't want to misquote you, but you said something before we got on air. You said that you kind of wanted your new music and maybe the music off this upcoming album to kind of be an escape from everything that was happening politically. Is that what you said?
No, so like this music, the EP called America Runs on Disco, and it was initially supposed to come out before the election, but we had to do some stuff with the label and figure some things out. And it was supposed to be about not just this year, but the year before, pretty much like since post-pandemic, I've seen a lot of people just lean more into escapism. And the EP's more of my observation of, like, me seeing, like, America running on disco more. You know what I mean? But then also this, like, ideal sense of, like, you know, disco was this movement, dance music from black and brown folks. So disco was, like, R&B that was sped up. And then people start coming to dancing, and that's where the disco, like, kind of was created. You know, it was this place where, like, it started off as this place where black and brown musicians' music were being sped up and being played, and people were dancing to them. And then it was primarily black and brown, like gay folks and queer folks, that initially started the disco movement. And then everyone else started coming to these spaces because they felt safe and they could dance and whatnot. And so it's having this ideology that, like, what if America actually did run on an actual disco and kind of had these same, like, values that, like, the old discotheques had on the dance floor? It would be a better place. But, yeah. So it's kind of, like, reality and also, like, what I kind of want to see.
Are you inspired? Because there is, like, such a big, like, well, it's not controversial, but there is a big history with disco in Chicago. Like, are you inspired by that? There is
no. I am not inspired by Chicago's history of disco, because we got some issues here. Comiskey Park, they were kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, for people that don't know, the disco demolition night happened here in Chicago at Comiskey Park, and a bunch of, you know, homophobic rock and roll folks got together and decided that they hated disco because they felt like it was corny. And that it was taking, like, people away from, like, real musicians and real musicianship, real rock and roll. And there was this DJ, I forgot his name. We probably don't even need to remember his name. But he inspired these folks to organize a disco demolition night where they bought all these disco records and then kind of just started blowing them up, literally in the middle of, like, White Sox stadium.
They created, like a bonfire.
Yeah. In the White Sox stadium, which I feel like is illegal. But so that history is kind of ugly. But Chicago's house history is gorgeous. Because I let came Chicago House.
Yes.
And they thought they killed this movement in this genre, but they actually kind of just birthed another one.
It is beautiful too, like the Chicago house history. I feel like people that are born and raised Chicago might not understand exactly how beautiful it is.
I remember when I went to London the first time, I had to tell her, because, you know, it's like, you know, London thinks they created house, which is crazy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and I had to tell them all the time, like, no, like, it started in Chicago. They was like, no, man, it started in Berlin. I was like, no, it didn't start in London or Berlin. It started in Chicago. Folks in Chicago know that, but I didn't realize that people outside Chicago didn't know that.
Yeah, no, they don't.
You know
what
I mean? Like, I grew up listening to house music, like at barbecues and stuff when I was like a kid. It was always primarily older black folks that was playing house music. I mean, I think now it's changing too. But, like, when I discovered that and I started, like, kind of found the sound and doing, like, more up-tempo, like, music that was centered around, like, black joy, black freedom, but also, like, the trauma and the drama of dealing with these racist folks in this country, I didn't realize that so many people didn't grow up on house music like I did. Especially, like, black and brown folks didn't grow up on house music like I did. So they see house music and dance music, they used to see it as, like, this quote-unquote white thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's crazy, because it's always been a super-duper black thing to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The percolator and all that stuff.
Yeah, come on. Join the movement, because it's going. If you grooving, or you fooling. Footwork through all the food, and just keep blowing while they hoping that you.
So you have this new music coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you have coming up? Any shows, maybe? We know you're great live.
I mean, I do have a show coming up. I teamed up with Lincoln Hall and Red Bull, and we're throwing a New Year's Eve dance party at Lincoln Hall. A New Year's Eve disco dance party, and it's actually named after the single America Runs on Disco dance party. Hopefully the first of many, but I'm excited because I've always wanted to host a dance
sponsor.
Party.
Yeah. All right, Red Bull, America Runs on Disco. What? This sounds really big.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You're saying it like it's nothing. This sounds big.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be the first of many.
So it's actually going to be on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, so it's actually on New Year's Eve. Yeah, at
what time?
It's going to be from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. So all drinks are going to be free for the first 2 hours. And then if you get a VIP, it's free all night.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have food, too. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. Yeah.
You need that food, because when you have free drinks.
Yeah, you're going to get food, yeah. We're going to have food. We're trying to figure out a way to have DDR everywhere. Like,
okay.
Some Dance Dance Revolution, so folks can, like, maybe like a Dance Dance Revolution competition, you know what I mean? And we're going to have a limbo competition. It's going to be fun.
Are you going to be performing there?
Yeah, so I'm going to do a live set, like 20-minute live set into the New Year's, into the countdown. Throughout it, I'm going to have my friend DJ Kit Kat, DJ Ann, Timmy V, DJ Billa, and you're going to have Louis Kaysen. And all of them are going to be DJing and doing disco-ish, like, vibes the whole night. And then in and out, I'll just be on the mic talking and messing around.
Okay, you'll be emceeing.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, this sounds so fun. Okay, so where could people get tickets?
You can get a ticket at Lincoln Hall, but you know, I always tell people, like, you know, I have to tell my aunties all the time too. Like, you can just Google it. If you put it in Google. If you put it in Google, it will tell you where to go.
That's all you need is just put it in there.
And I think we're the only people that are using the phrase America Runs on Disco, so it should pop up really quick, hopefully.
So let's get into this. Let's play your new single and tell us a little bit more about it, America Runs on Disco.
Let's just say that this year has been crazy. A lot of people have been trying to escape. Mm. And this is, I don't know, this is kind of how, like, that feels to me. Yeah, this is my new single, America Runs on Disco. Because it gets so loose.
I see the tech to make you want. I see the tech to make you want. This segment was hosted and produced by Nudia Hernandez. It was edited by Morgan Sioka. Keep up with Vocalo on Instagram, X, and Facebook at Vocalo, and on TikTok at Vocalo.radio. Oh, what you really want to do? Got the juice, it ain't zero proof. Girl, you the truth, they all want you.